reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human endurance, and his appearance beyond that of the sons of man. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, nor appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured, while we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes were we healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers. He was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. And who would have thought any more of his destiny? When he was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sin of the people, a grave was assigned him among the wicked and a burial place with evildoers. Though he had done no wrong, nor spoken any falsehood, but the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. It gives his life as an offering for sin. He shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked. And he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. The word of the Lord. Responsorial Psalm. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find mercy for timely help. In the days when Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory, praise, and honor. I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue or in the temple area, where all the Jews gather, and in secret I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said.
When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there and struck Judas and said,
"Is this the way you answered the high priest?"
Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the law. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there, eating worm, and they said to him,
"You are not
the disciple, are you?" He denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said,
"What charge do you bring against this man?"
They answered and said to him,
"If you are not a
criminal,
you
do
not have
any more to do." At this, Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law."
The Jews answered him,
"We do not have the right to
do
anything."
In order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he said, so Pilate went back to the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?"
Pilate answered,
"I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered,
"My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here."
So Pilate said to him,
"Then you are a king?"
Jesus answered,
"You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate said to him,
"What is the truth?"
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them,
"I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
They cried out again,
"Now Barabbas
is a revolutionary." Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns, and placed it on his head, and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you, so that you may know that I find no guilt in him."
So Jesus came out, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple cloak, and he said to them,
"Behold the man."
When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out,
"Crucify him, crucify him."
Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him."
The Jews answered, "Now, when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid, and he went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus,
"Where are you from?"
Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him,
"Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you, and I have the power to crucify you?"
Jesus answered him,
You would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.
Woman, behold your son.
Then he said to the disciple,
behold your mother.
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said,
I thirst.
There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a string of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said,
it is finished.
And bowing his head, he handed it over to the Spirit.
come together this afternoon in one of the most sacred liturgies that we observe in our faith community. It is the commemoration of the Lord's passion and death. Each of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the event, each with a different twist, but basically the same message is communicated, that Jesus freely gives himself in fulfillment of the Father's will, out of love for each and every one of us. The question that probably gets asked more than any other question is why? Why did it have to be this way? Why could there not have been, as Peter suggests over and over in the Gospels, why could there not have been a simpler way? Why could there have not been a way without the tragedy that we commemorate in his liturgy? John has a different approach. John is very clear that everything that is happening by the will of God under the control of Jesus. And he uses a key word, two key words, actually. He uses them first in chapter 8 of the gospel account when people ask Jesus, "Who are you?" And Jesus responds, "I am." And at one point, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." In a sense, he reveals himself. He reveals himself as God's presence in our midst, for those words, "I am," had great significance within the Jewish tradition. They were the words that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, when Moses says, "Who will I tell the people sent me?" And God says to him, "Tell them I am." Jesus uses that in chapter 8 in John's gospel, but he uses it again here in the opening of the Passion story. When they come saying they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, his response is, "I am." Not only saying to them in effect that yes, he is Jesus of Nazareth, but more importantly saying to them, "I am the presence of God in your midst." And so you would say, well, if Jesus is the presence of God in our midst, why would Jesus subject himself to this type of activity? Why would he not manifest his power and overcome all of them and have everybody fall down in his midst? Why? Well, certainly, one of the reasons, I think, is that God did not want to overwhelm us. God wanted to establish with us a relationship of love. And if you want to establish a relationship of love with another, you don't come down on them with 1,000 pounds. You come at them with the humility that allows them the freedom to accept your offer of relationship, your offer of love. And so Jesus, coming from the Father, in order that he might reveal the way of the Father, reveals then a God who approaches in love, a God who seeks to woo us into relationship, that we might be at one with God. But God knows that this will not occur easily. For God has been around longer than any one of us and any one of our histories. And you go back to the story of Adam and Eve, and you see there how God tried to woo those first creatures, and they turned away. They said, "We would prefer to be our own God. Why don't you get lost?" And then you had the stories that continue from that point on. Even the story of Passover, which will be celebrated this evening by our Jewish brothers and sisters. God wooing the people by his actions, and the people complaining, the people turning away, the people creating false images. We would prefer to have our own God. We would prefer to be our own gods. Jesus comes and he manifests the way of the Father. He manifests the gentleness of God. He manifests the acceptance. He manifests the uplifting. He manifests a new order and says, this is God's way. And the response, if we destroy him, we'll be rid of him and we'll be rid of God. And we can go our own way. Unfortunately, even as we commemorate the passion and death of the Lord, we know that it has not ended. For even to this day, even to this moment, the human family continues to reject God, to go its own way. Rather than pursue the ways of God, the ways of compassion, the ways of understanding, the ways of uplifting, the ways of love, we choose the ways of the world. We choose prejudice. We choose violence. We choose belittlement. We choose all of those things which you see captured in the mystery of the cross. For they stripped him of his garments. They humiliated him. Do we not do the same? They persecuted him. They physically tortured him. Do we not do the same? Each year, we come to this celebration. We hear the message. And is God inviting us again? Will you walk in my way? Will you begin the journey of peace, the journey of justice, the way of love? Will you, in a sense, become my servants, accepting the cross that will be there for you? For there can be no illusion that to wear the way of Jesus, to live by the will of the Father, is to accept the cross in our lives, to be ridiculed, to be mocked, to be made whole, that our policies as we advocate them on behalf of life, from its conception until its natural death, we are crazy. These things, they don't count anymore. They don't, in a sense, relate to the world in which we live today. Those migrants at the border, they're not worth anything. Why would you get upset about them? Why would you want to let them in and pollute our good lives, our prosperous living? Cross is a challenge. It's a challenge that will never die on the face of this earth. So long as we struggle with it, so long as we hold back. Think of Pilate, how he held back. I find no guilt in this man. But yet did not have the courage to do what was the right thing. And the question is always to us, do we have the courage? The courage born of the cross to do the right thing, to live by the will of God. under him the Christian people, governed by you their Maker, may grow in merit by reason of their faith through Christ.
Yes, sir.
and the rights of peoples. Look with favor, we pray, on those who govern with authority over us, that throughout the whole world, the prosperity of peoples, the assurance of peace, and the freedom of religion may, through your gift, be made secure, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Savior's command informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, and by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
May the receiving of your body and blood, Lord Jesus Christ, not bring me and us to judgment and condemnation, but through your loving mercy, be for us protection in mind and body, and a healing remedy. And my brothers and sisters, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,